seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 9 and the 18th verse. The 9th Psalm and verse 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. And the 9th Psalm and verse 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. So often, the Lord's needy people feel that the Lord has forgotten them. It's a very painful place to be brought, to feel forgotten, even in a natural way. You know, it's a very solemn, searching position to be in when you feel it may be that there are those around you that have forgotten you. But think about it far greater so spiritually, to feel the Lord has forgotten us, especially when we're needy sinners. Now, as help, first of all, let us look at these needy, and then to look at what it is to feel forgotten. It's a wonderful mercy, isn't it, if the Lord has given us a need. The ungodly and the world go on and they think they can manage themselves and think that everything will be well with them as long as they live a good life, and when they come to the hour of death, because they've lived a good life, it'll be well with them and they will have heaven at last. But you know, it's a solemn delusion, really. Well, what a wonderful mercy if we'll be brought to feel our need. And the need of the Lord. You know, when the Lord began to work in Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road, what did he do? He brought him to feel his need. He was independent to God and God's ways before that, wasn't he? But oh, when the Lord brought him there, quickened him into life, gave him a desire for the truth, how needy he felt to be. You see, if we are the Lord's children, we shall be continually in need of him. Oh, we will. And the Lord brings these needy sinners to the place where he give them faith to believe the Lord will supply that need. Oh, he will. Think of the great need of many throughout God's holy word and how the Lord brought them into need. You can think of Elijah when he was by the brook Cherith. The dear man was in need because famine had come upon the land and the Lord had withheld the rain. He was a needy soul. And you look how the Lord supplied that need. And then you can think of in the New Testament of those multitude that the disciples wanted to send away to their homes, but they were hungry, they were in need. And it was only the Lord that could supply that need. The disciples couldn't. You think of the 5,000 when they said to the Savior, the disciples said to the Savior, how is it that we should have sufficient to feed such a great number, that such a multitude? But you see, the Lord alone knows the need of his people. And the need of the real child of God is twofold. First of all, it's the need in their soul. There's so much in us, isn't there? If we know anything of our own standing and our own heart before the Lord, we shall know what it is for him to feel the need of his appearing. And that he would supply that need. The publican needed mercy, didn't he? He needed not only mercy, but he needed the Lord to forgive all his sins. So there's that inward need. And then think of it naturally. The Lord knows the need, like we have named, of Elijah and of the multitude. He knew their need and he could supply it. I think it was Dr. Hawker said, you know, there's a wonderful bank in heaven where the poor needy sinner can go knowing that that bank will never run dry. You know, if you've got a bank account, you keep taking money out of it and eventually it would run dry if there's nothing going in. But you think of the bank of heaven. Well, Huntington spoke of it, didn't he? That bank of faith. And you think of the need that you may have tonight, why the Lord's given me this text. You see, the storehouse of heaven will never run dry. Oh no. I love that couplet of the hymn, we often quote it. It's a beautiful hymn really, Immortal Honours. And you think of that beautiful verse, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. And think of what the apostle said to the church at Philippi. And he could say it from experience, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, there's a rich fullness in the dear Redeemer to supply the need of needy sinners. Now he says, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. And to those that when you're in deep need and then you feel forgotten, especially forgotten by the Lord, is a very solemn searching place to be brought to. But there's a wonderful promise here, isn't there? For the needy shall not always be forgotten. It may be for a time you feel forgotten, poor soul. You may wonder why we read, and no doubt, seeing the subject now, you will know why I read that, and we read that together. It came to me, as soon as the text dropped in, so forcibly of what the church said in Isaiah's day. She said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my God hath forgotten me. Now that's just how she felt, you see. And there may be one here tonight. You feel the Lord has forsaken you, and you feel he's forgotten you. But you think of what's in the text. The needy shall not always be forgotten. Oh no. The day will come, you see, when he will appear and supply that need You won't always feel forgotten. But you see, in that forgotten condition, it really exercises a real child of God. He did the church here. She said, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. And there are reasons why the Lord forsakes his dear people. He often forsakes us because of our sin. He may forsake us because we're disobedient to his commands and to his ordinances. He may forsake us to bring us to urgently seek his appearing. And there are many other ways you could look at this, why he forsakes his people. If you look through the experience of the children of Israel, how many times, because they turn to idols, because they worship false gods, he forsook them. And he brought them into a time of barrenness. And that's a very solemn, searching place to be in. But you know, he didn't always forsake them. Oh no. And it so came to me, thinking about what the church said here. The Lord hath forsaken me, and my God hath forgotten me. But you know, there's another precious word in the prophecy of Isaiah, and it's this: for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. It's a beautiful word, that, isn't it? For a small moment, you may say, oh, but it seems to be week after week, day after day. It's a small moment, poor soul, compared with eternity, where the wicked are forgotten by God forever. For a small moment. And may that be of encouragement to you tonight, if you feel that the Lord has forgotten you, or forsaken you. For a small moment have I, and the Lord was speaking, have I forsaken them? But with great mercies will I gather thee. But when this text came, as I said, this word in Isaiah seemed to so rest upon me. And you know, the Lord was to come again to her. Well, before I look at what he said to her, let us just remember, and it comes to me so I will name it, the dear disciples, just prior to the Lord Jesus going to Calvary, to suffer, to bleed, to die, he told the disciples he would leave them. And all the sorrow that filled their heart. And think of that beautiful word that he spoke to them. Ye now therefore have sorrow. Now if the Lord said to you tonight, I'm going to forsake you for a season, would not sorrow fill your heart? Oh, it would. I remember dear Mr. Labour saying on one occasion, when he was preaching, he said, you know, the Lord spoke to me, he said, some years ago, and he said this to me: I will not talk much with you. You know, Jesus spoke that to the disciples, didn't he? So they were going to go through a season where they knew the silence of the Lord. And that's painful for the soul of the child of God when the Lord's silent. And dear Mr. Labour said, you know, he said, I knew the Lord was going to bring me into a season where I'd feel forsaken, forgotten, and the Lord was going to be silent. I will not talk much with you. You know, at the time, that seemed such a sweet word to me, you know, that the dear man knew it and the disciples were to know it. But you know, sometimes the Lord brings us into such a place as that, that he might favour us in the days to come, that we might enjoy the blessing of his appearing. Go back to the disciples. He said to them, ye now therefore have sorrow. They were right in it, they were walking in it, but, and think of what a beautiful but that was, I will see you again. And what was the effect of him seeing them again? Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And you know, their very inmost heart was to rejoice when he saw them again. Oh, the joy there was in them. And no man could take it away, could they? It's a wonderful thing, that is, isn't it? The devil won't better take it away. The joy they enjoyed. But what I was going to say was this word the Lord spoke to her when she felt forsaken, and she says, my God hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but then listen, yet will I not forget thee. And then he tells us why he's not forgotten them, or forsaken them forever. Behold, and listen to the profound words the Lord speaks to her. And may he speak this to each of us here tonight. Because if he does, you'll be one of the happiest souls that walk this earth. I have, the Lord speaking, graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You know, when the dear Saviour, and I speak it with much reverence, was nailed to Calvary's tree, on the palms of his hands were the names of the whole election of grace. And he was nailed there for them. You and I, if we're among them. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And you know, when something is engraved in whatever it may be, you know, it needs a lot of removing, doesn't it? You've virtually got to destroy the object that it's engraven in. And you see, if we are among those that are graven upon the palms of his hands, the devil will never destroy this soul. Oh no, he cannot. Because the dear Saviour has suffered, bled and died for them, purchased them with an eternal salvation. They're his forever. I have graven thee. You may feel forsaken tonight, poor soul. It may be during the night season that the Lord speak this word to you. It'll be a word of power to bring you out of that darkness you may have been in. It'll be a word to remove all the sin that weighs you down and burdens your heart. Is a word that Satan can never stand against. He may roar, he may try and buffet this soul, but he'll never be able to destroy them. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You see, in those hands were everlasting love to sinners. Think how willing the Saviour was to die. Love was inscribed in it all, you know. I remember your late beloved pastor saying, you know, Pilate wrote on that cross, the King of the Jews. But you know, the dear man, he said this. He said, you know, there was more than that written there. There was love inscribed in it all. Everlasting love. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. May that be of comfort to you tonight. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The Lord knows his needy ones tonight, he does. Wherever they may be the backside of the desert. They may be in the busy streets of London. And oh, they're all known to him, you know. These needy souls. And really, you know, we shall be needy sinners right till we breathe our last breath. We shall need the Lord every step of the journey. What do we sing in that hymn? I know it's not in our book, but we need thee every hour. And you know, the older I get, the more I feel the need of the Lord. You know, really, the Lord taught the dear disciples that, didn't he? He said to them, without me, ye can do nothing. So in other words, they needed him every hour. Because without him they couldn't do anything. And many times you and I may think we can do this or do that, but you know, when the Lord pulls the brakes on us, we realise we need him more and more. The needy then shall not always be forgotten. Don't forget that word, always. You know, the devil may be tempting one soul tonight. Well, you know, time keeps going on and you haven't got the blessing you long for. You know, you'll never obtain it. Well, here, poor soul, is this wonderful word, that the needy shall not always be forgotten. You feel forgotten, forsaken, but you won't always be there. The disciples weren't, were they? I will see you again. Think of the church here, we've just named it in Isaiah. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. You know, those are comprehensive blessings. And they cover the child of God in every time of need. But then he goes further. Much would be further said upon this first part. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Really, you know, in this text, and David knew it full well by experience. And there are many times, like in this Psalm of David, as he speaks this, he could speak it from experience. Because we read in, is it not in Psalm 40 and then again in 70? What did David say about himself? Remember, he was king of Israel and of Judah and had everything at his disposal, really. But what does he say about himself? He didn't say like the carnal man and the natural man would do, well, I'm king and everybody should look to me and I've got authority over this and that. No, he says this, but I am poor and needy. And these are the two types of characters that are named in our text, aren't they? And David could speak it. because he knew what it was to know what it was to be poor. Though he had everything, naturally his heart could wish, and yet he knew what it was to be needy. And the Lord had taught him that, you see. He hadn't learned that out of a book. He hadn't learned it from any man. It was because the Lord had taught him his need and taught him how poor he was. Oh yes. What do we sing sometimes, speaking of these poor? Dear Mr. Hammond, when I was a lad, often used to quote it. And I didn't know what he meant at the time. In my youth days, and he used to quote that verse of the hymn, "The poorer the wretch, the welcomer here." And you know, in that beautiful, I think it's 155th hymn, it speaks of this. And you see, the poorer the wretch. The poorer we are, the more dependent we'll be upon the Lord. Oh, we will. David did, you see. This is why the Lord so blessed him and favoured him, because he was so dependent upon the God of heaven for all that he needed. Sacred hymn, you see, "This fountain, though rich, from charge is quite clear. The poor, the wretch, the welcomer here. Come needy, come guilty, come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy, come just as you are." And really, you know, that is the invitation of the gospel for sinners to come to Christ. To come to this precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain of his precious blood. But these poor, you know, they have expectations. You know, naturally, there are those that have different expectations. But think about it spiritually. The psalmist said on another occasion, "My expectation is from the Lord." You see, when the sinner seeks the Lord in prayer, they bring their case, their poor, needy case to the Lord. Why? Believing he will meet that case. And they expect the blessing. Well, let me use an illustration. You think of the dear woman with the issue of blood. You see, this is not natural expectation. This is gracious expectation that's set forth in our text. The expectation the Lord gives to his dear people. The psalmist said, as I just quoted, "My expectation is from the Lord." And you think of the dear woman with the issue of blood. She was so unworthy, feeling her sin, feeling the terrible afflictions upon her. But what does she do? She ventures to the Saviour for healing, both in body and in soul. Her expectation was from him. It was only he that could grant her that healing, that restoring. She had a gracious expectation, and it was only he that could bless her in her soul with pardon and peace. Her expectation was from the Lord. And those expectations, you know, Satan will do all he can to try and squash them and kill them, take them away. But you see, he cannot. What does he say? The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. The devil may say, oh, but your expectation is going to perish. It'll come to nothing. It'll dry up. And the devil will use all his armour possible and all his skill to try and tempt the child of God that their expectation will perish. But here's a word from the Lord to stand against Satan with. For the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Oh no. It may be dampened. There are times where you say, well, it's impossible for that expectation to ever be brought to pass. But it will not perish forever. Oh, you know what it is to go up to the house of God. Well, let me use a simple illustration. I must leave it because of the time. But when I was exercised about the ministry, and I've told you before, but it bears saying again, you know, the weight of it got so great upon me. I felt I couldn't carry it any longer. And those words dropped in quite sweetly to my soul. What Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it, you know, that word carried me during that, right through that week. Come unto me with it. Don't try and carry it yourself. It's just as though the Lord said that to me. Well, on the Lord's day, I went up expecting to hear it preached from. You know, we need saving, a word of caution, from presumption. But faith will expect the confirmation, the seal of it. Faith will expect the Lord to appear, and if it's of him. And you know, I went up that Lord's Day Sunday evening to Maidstone Chapel to hear Mr. Laver preach. And as I went down in the town, you know, that word kept resting in my soul. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know, I went into that chapel expecting it, that he would preach from it. Oh, to be like that, may the Lord grant us more seasons. Gracious expectation. And you know, he read those last few verses in that beautiful 11th chapter of Matthew. Because being blind, he took the Braille Bible, and you know, he only read a few, those last few verses. And the devil said to me, ah, but he won't preach from them. And he attacked me all the time the dear man was in prayer. But you know, when he got up to take his text, he said, friends, I've been tempted by the devil ever since I stood in this pulpit this evening, that I've got the wrong part of the word of God. But he said, this word has so rested upon me. And it's this, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, my soul leapt for joy. But then he said, I want to take it particularly concerning the ministry. He said, you can look at that text in many ways, but he said, I want to look at it tonight concerning the ministry. And he said, because I believe there's a young man here exercising it. Well, he knew nothing about me and he couldn't even see me because he was blind. But I've never forgot it, you know, that gracious expectation. And you know, it may be you go up and you expect a hymn to be given out. It's a gracious... This doesn't mean to say you'll go up taking it for granted or presume it will be so. You go up praying your way along, the Lord would bring the expectation to fruition. What do we sing in the hymn? It's a beautiful couplet, really. Faith believes it, and it does. And hope expects it. You think of David in Psalm 42 and 43. He looks in his heart. He was in the depths of trouble. And what does he say? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? But then he says this, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You see, though he was in that cast down state, faith was given to hope and to expect to praise the Lord. And the Lord granted it to him. Oh, he did. He can grant it today. Well, I've only scratched around the surface of this tonight, but you think of this word. The needy shall not always be forgotten. It's not my word, it's what the Lord has said. Neither shall the expectation of the poor perish forever.